the readings of today, which are among the longest readings of the sacred liturgy, especially during a weekday, since it is Saturday of the second week of Lent, are exceedingly long. And of course, the first one for the book of Genesis is the cunning of Rebecca in favor of her son, Jacob. And of course, the firstborn was Esau, and Jacob was the second, but they were twins. And Esau mentions in the reading, if you have read, if you have listened, how even at the birth, Jacob took advantage of the situation. And what happened was, when Esau was being pulled out of the womb, Jacob held on to his ankle, and so they were both pulled out together. So in a sense, Jacob was also a firstborn, even though he wasn't. He was the second to come out, but he came out at the same time as Esau. And of course, we see the machinations of Rebekah fixing the food that her husband liked. And then, of course, because there was a difference, even though they were twins, they were not identical twins. And Esau had hairy arms, whereas Jacob did not. And Jacob knew this, and so he says to him, well, how, he's going to know who I am. Now, she already had thought of using Esau's clothing, which smelled of him. You know, that was before Febreze was invented. But anyway, so he smelled like the field. And that's what the father says. And who knows what that was. But anyway, we know what a barn smells like. So some of us like it, some of us don't. So that was taken care of. Esau, by the way, the father was blind. He had gone blind in his old age. And so the mother figures out about putting furs on his arms and hands so that the father would think that he was Esau. And so he gives him the blessing, the firstborn blessing. And it is interesting because certain things are of religion, certain things are of culture. He gave a blessing to Jacob. He could not give us the same blessing to Esau, even though it was his by right. And so when Esau comes in and he realizes he's been duped by his wife and the other son, then he says, I'm so sorry, I've already done it. I can't do it again. I guess it's very similar to the consecration. You can consecrate once. If you bring more bread at the end of the canon, I cannot consecrate it. It's finished. It's done. And so, all that Isaac could do was to give him a different blessing, not a malediction. Of course, that's what he was afraid of. Because if you do not bless, then you curse. A malediction. Isaac did not curse him. And so we see the rest of the history of the people of Israel. But it's interesting how it happened this way. I'm sure critics could have all kinds of things to say. And I'm not talking about scriptural critics. I'm talking about historical critics. But we won't go there. In the gospel, we have similarly two brothers. We have the younger, like Jacob, and we have the older, like Esau. And here they're not named, but it's very much well understood. Well, it's time for them to be of age, and it was time for them to receive, at the very least, part of their inheritance, which must have been sicely. And so the younger brother asked for the inheritance, which was uncommon. Usually you wait till somebody dies before you get the inheritance. But it was not unheard of totally. So he asked for his inheritance, and the father very gently and very kindly gives it to him. And then he disappears. The other one, I'm sure, was already upset, but he was there. He was taking care of the farm and the animals and the slaves and everything else. And so the situation continues. Now, the younger brother, now mind you, it's the younger brother, the one who doesn't really have the rights to everything. In tradition, the oldest born son is the one that receives everything. That's the way it was with my ancestors, with my family, with me. The oldest born son, not daughter, receives everything. And that's just the way it is, has been since the beginning of time. And so the youngest son gets his share, and then the older brother, whose right it is to have it, receives whatever it is. In the meantime, the brother goes and he spends his money on horrible, sinful living. In the gospel itself, the second son says, and this one who has spent his money with ladies of ill repute, he didn't call them that, meretrices, which is a very nasty term. Not a bad word, but it's very demeaning. Meretrix. That is what the pagans are in comparison to Israel. To him, you receive him and you kill the fatted calf and you put a beautiful coat on him and shoes on his feet and rings on his fingers. And I'm here all the time and you never give me anything. Now, it's interesting because all these things are a reflection and a prediction of us, of our spiritual life. We are sinners, and we do not behave as we should. And yet we ask for this, and we ask for that, and we ask for this blessing and this miracle, whatever, and then do very, very little to we don't deserve it ever. But we do very little to try to deserve it. And of course, I see this all the time. So many people ask me for favors. Please pray to Our Lady for this and pray to Our Lady for that. And then they get their miracles and they never bother to come back and say, I am healed, I am saved, I got the job, I got the house. Nothing. I find out later and I just shrug because that's just the way it is. And the way, that's the same thing we do with God. Is unjust. Unjust. We need to give thanks to those who are involved in the favors, in the miracles that we do receive. And so, here the son goes and does what he does. And the second son is always there doing the job. Now, he never thought of asking for anything because everything was his with the father already. But at the same time, when the brother gets something, he's very upset. And in our spiritual life, oftentimes, we see that certain people, whom we do not think are deserving of any miracles or favors, get the miracles or favors. Whatever they do with them, that's up to them. But we ourselves are wondering, why is this the case? Why is it that this is given to him? Why is this person who is so evil still alive? Nobody can kill him. I mean, other than assassination or murder, which is not allowed, there's no other way to do it. We have to depend on the will of God. And so the father says, my son. And this whole parable is full of the tenderness of the father for the son. The father, for years, we don't know, two or three, four, 5 years, that the younger son was gone. He always went out, especially in the evening, and walked up and down his property in the front to see if he saw the son return. And finally, one day, he did. And we saw what happens. And then he rejoices about this and celebrates it. The other son is very jealous of him. But if you notice, the father also goes out to him. He refused to go in. many times, we too, when we find out that this one is at a dinner or a party or that one, we refuse to go because we want nothing to do with them. And the Father comes out. Again, he goes out. He goes out of his way. That is the mercy of God. Because this is God. And the two sons are we. And so the Father goes to the other son. You never did anything for me. Son, everything I have is yours. And so he brings peace and reconciliation to both sons. He rejoices in the one that was thought to be dead and is back to life. The one that was lost and is found. And so many of our brethren are lost and they have not yet been found, and we have to do something about it. And of course, that's one of the things for First Friday and First Saturday, that we make reparation, that we pray for the conversion of those who need to be converted. And of course, the second son was just as lost, not because he took off to a foreign land, but because he was full of pride, which is the original sin of Adam and Eve, the original sin of Lucifer, who became Satan, and it is the sin that belies every other sin that you and I commit. Pride. Who is he to tell me what to do? Who does he think he is? I know what I'm doing. Pride. So today, as we meditate on these wonderful readings, and you should look back at them again and see there are so many other things that are of importance here that I don't have time to go through. Think about the ways in which, by pride and its consequences, many, 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 many consequences, you offend God. And may our Lord, who is the example of humility, and Our Lady, the Mother of Humility, intercede for us, especially as today we honor her Immaculate Heart on this first Saturday of the month of March, the month of the Passion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.